Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Caliber Mining. Traded on the TSX under the symbol CXB and on the OTCQX under the symbol CXBMF. We are chatting with the Vice President of Corporate Development and IR, Ryan King. Now, Ryan, there's a couple news releases and general updates that we want to get to, some on the exploration front with some recent success in terms of high-grade gold being hit across some of the company's projects, but also the Q3 financial numbers. We want to start with the finances and then also provide a little look ahead to Q4 and generally next year because we are almost in 2021. Some of the highlights from the Q3 numbers: gold production of a little over 44,000 ounces, gold sales of, again, a little over 44,000 ounces, generating a little over $72 million in revenue. This correlated to a cash generated from operating activities of over $28 million. Another successful quarter for Caliber, generating cash. Yes, you're also out there spending cash through acquisitions and through exploration, but let's talk about the production data here first. What else can you highlight to us in terms of these Q3 numbers, please, Ryan?
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on the show again. And yeah, it was a solid quarter for us in Q3. You know, in the beginning of the year, we had foreshadowed that we were going to be second half of the year heavy on production in terms of higher production in H2 versus H1. And in fact, lower capital spend and lower all-in sustaining costs in the second half of the year. So we are, in fact, hitting those marks here with almost 45,000 ounces here in the quarter. And in particular, I'll highlight our 980 total cash costs and 1097 all-in sustaining costs, which is right in line, if not a little bit on the lower end of our guidance. So Q3, a really solid quarter for us. And as you mentioned and pointed out, you know, cash generated from operating activities, very strong. We're reinvesting back into the business because we see good opportunities to increase production organically because of the surplus capacity we have at the one facility. And as well, all the exploration activities, right? As we've talked about in the past, and I think almost all year, we have had between 10 and 16 operating drill rigs on various assets in the portfolio. So a real focus on reinvesting back into the business because, you know, if you look at the Lassonde curve, that's really where the value is, right? It's the curve up on discoveries and then getting into production. And of course, Caliber is a unique situation where we're heavily investing in exploration to make those new discoveries to provide new sources of feed into our facilities that are already built and installed, right? So not an exciting time for the company. And I'm really looking forward to Q4 because, again, at the beginning of the year, and this is rolling out as we anticipated, that we would have much stronger production profile, lower capital spend, and then anticipated lower all-in sustaining costs in the second half of the year for various reasons, some of which are higher grade within the mine sequence, and some are additional contributions from some higher grade areas and sources that feed into these plants. So a strong second half of the year for us indeed.
Well, Ryan, would you walk the audience through that may not be familiar with Caliber or may have just started following along with the opportunity, what the company's general strategy is when it comes to this hub and spoke methodology? I mean, one of the things that's impressed me and why I'm an investor in the company personally is because I've seen you guys deliver on your guidance, not just on your exploration guidance and hitting with the drill bit, but on your production guidance and growing the production throughput. And you've done it by adding all these satellite deposits in. And when we first started talking, you had one spoke, then a second, then a third. Now you're developing your fourth with Eastern Borosi, and it's all being processed at that La Libertad mill that still has more capacity, as you just outlined. So just walk people through some of the work the company's been doing to feed the beast and to feed this hub and spoke methodology.
Yeah, no, it's a really good point. And obviously, there's a lot of folks that will stumble across some materials for the first time, and so don't really completely understand what we're doing. But to take it back to first principles, our chief executive officer, Darren Hall, was really the architect of how we operate today. He was almost 30 years at Newmont, and his role there increased year over year in the sense of growing accountability and responsibilities because he was so good at looking at assets within their portfolio and looking at ways to optimize them. You know, just looking at them from a fresh set of eyes, a fresh perspective. And in 2020, we looked at the assets. I mean, Libertad was heading towards closure, a large 2.2 million ton per annum mill, state-of-the-art facility. It just had run out of sources that feed that mill that were local and within a couple kilometers of that mill. So we looked at Limón, which is an operating asset, produces about 500,000 tons through that mill a year, and that's full capacity, but it had a larger resource base. So we looked at, instead of expanding that mill and spending $100 million of capital, let's put that excess material in a truck, drive it down to Libertad. And I think in 2020, almost 20 to 25% of our metal production came from that strategy. So again, debottlenecking that operation and unlocking value, generating some operating cash flow and positive cash flow to again reinvest back into the business. So we have this large facility at Libertad and currently only use about 50% of the capacity of that mill. And so you're right. You know, in 2020, we also advanced and permitted our Pavón project, which is, albeit not a huge deposit, but currently sits at about 300,000 ounces at about 5 grams per ton gold. So that project is too small as it currently stands to justify a mill. However, we can de-orphan that project, again, mine the material, put it in 25-ton haul trucks, drive it down to Libertad responsibly, safely, process the rock at Libertad. And so we've been able to, for a very low amount of capital, call it between $10 and $15 million, put the infrastructure in place, mine the material, bring it down to Libertad. So the return on invested capital here is incredible. And as you say, now we're looking further afield to the Eastern Borosi project. And in Q1, we'll have a pre-feasibility study announced, the results announced, so people can really get a handle and understand what the opportunity is from a cash flow perspective. And then again, that's another opportunity for us to potentially increase some production, increase our operating cash flows, allow us to reinvest back into the business. And I'm actually really excited about 2022. And the reason is because we're going to be starting to look further afield. We've been awarded a number of new mineral concessions that we've identified and requested because they're in very prolific, underexplored regions. But I guess now that we've demonstrated and executed on this hub and spoke approach by not only trucking material, but taking a project all the way through from a permitting perspective, engineering perspective, mining perspective, hauling perspective, from a new spoke or a new satellite, and doing that safely, responsibly, and accretively, we now have a model which we can use and go forward with because we have so much surplus capacity at one of our mills. So an exciting year ahead, I think.
So Ryan, simplify it for us then before we move on to all this exploration. When it comes simply to the production aspects in 2022, how's that going to flow and what are some of your guys' forecasts, please?
Well, we're still working on budgets for 2022. I anticipate, you know, probably in the realm of 2021, maybe a little bit higher, similar grade profiles. But what will be an additional contribution is we had worked up gradually in 2021 to get to 1,000 tons a day of hauled material from this new project, Pavón Norte. We hit 1,000 tons a day back in September. So we were gradual throughout the year. I mean, 350 per ton on average in Q1, 550 in Q2. And so if we hit our mark next year, we'll be 1,000 tons a day from Pavón, 1,000 tons a day from Limón. And then we've got the Javelí underground mine at Libertad. So those will be our main sources of feed, the Limón open pit, Limón undergrounds, feed the Limón mill, as well as we truck material from the Limón open pits over to Libertad. So there's a number of sources there, and you can see just slightly higher contribution rates from Pavón. But what is really exciting is as we look further afield to 2023, I anticipate production should increase even further, and largely because at Pavón, we are currently mining Pavón Norte, which is about a 3-gram open pit ore body. We are going to be transitioning to Pavón Central, and I would anticipate, you know, probably end of first quarter 23, maybe second quarter of 23, we're going to be starting to get into Pavón Central, which has almost double the grade as Pavón Norte. So that alone should see a significant contribution addition from Pavón, just that alone. And then you layer on what could be from Eastern Borosi, and we'll lay that out in Q1 of next year. But if all goes well, we could be starting to mine Eastern Borosi in the second half of 2023 as well. and trucking material down to have another additional source going into the mill. So I'm pretty excited about the gradual increase in production profile over the next couple of years. And then again, you know, being able to self-fund all the exploration activities that could lead to potential additional growth, because again, we're still only using 50% of a 2.2 million ton per annum mill. You look at the metrics on that. If we were to fill that mill, you could be north of 250 to 300,000 ounces at the grades we're putting through that now. So that presents a really compelling organic growth story and opportunity.
Yeah, Ryan, I think it's one of the more interesting organic growth stories in the gold production space, just because you don't have to go build another mill. You've got 50% spare capacity in your mill, and it's not like you've got a shortage of targets to go after with the drilling. And I like how aggressive Calibre is with the drill bit. Maybe from a high level, before we dive into specific results, just give us a high level overview of how many drills are turning right now and at how many properties.
Yeah, so I think right now we've got about 13 or 14 rigs still in operation, which of course will start coming to a close here as it's almost the middle of December. But I think two or three rigs currently operating at Pavón Central. And Pavón is interesting because it's only been drilled to the maximum depth, I think, of about 125 meters. So there's some really good potential at Pavón. We're up at Eastern Borosi. So earlier this year, we completed about 23,000 meters of infill drilling, including geotechnical drilling, metallurgical drilling, to help us convert the inferred resources into potentially reserves to have a higher level of predictability and confidence of what we would be mining and putting into a pre-feasibility study. And now at Eastern Borosi, we're starting to step out, not just do infill, but look at near mine or near resource expansion potential. So we're drilling targets outside of the current resources, because there's very clear indications to us anyways at this stage that the open pits at Eastern Borosi, known as Guapinol and Vancouver, have very good potential to expand to depth. And if anyone were to look at some of the news releases we put out earlier this year with some of our long sections, you can see that it just right at about the 200 meter level mark, there's just no drilling. And yet just above that, there's resources that have been defined. So a clear opportunity there, and a number of other targets that have been identified, whether it be through previous limited drilling, geochemical anomalies identified, or geophysical anomalies identified. There's, I think collectively our exploration group put together a large report that identified over 20 targets that we'd like to go after and drill in within a 200 square kilometer land package. So yeah, not exciting up there. And then equally so, we're down at Limón and Libertad as well. We've got 2 to 3 rigs at each site at those where the mills are. And yeah, it's been an exciting year, I think, at both sites, but particularly because we've made some new discoveries at Libertad. So a lot of activity and a lot of room for resource growth and new discoveries again in 2022.
Now let's talk about some of that drilling at Libertad, because just on November 16th, the company announced high-grade gold mineralization at the Vulcan target. We haven't talked about this target before. Give us a little background on this Vulcan target, please.
Yeah, so at some point in time, I think it would be worthwhile to have our VP Exploration, Mark Peterson, come on the show, or Tom Gallo, who was a senior vice president of research for Canaccord Genuity, both geologists. Tom left Canaccord to join Calibre because of the opportunity here at Calibre and what he saw. We were a top pick for him. And Tom's been down to site recently. He's also spent some time in Nevada with the geological team there. But basically, when we look back at all of the work that had been done historically by B2Gold and some areas that had been drilled, some areas that hadn't, some geochemical work that we did earlier on when we acquired these assets, there's just a number of mapped vein systems on surface. A lot of them have really good potential to define economic ore deposits. And Vulcan was one of these mapped systems on surface that we identified. And just because of where it sits geologically in terms of erosion, the silica clay alteration that's been identified there that all coincide with low sulfidation epithermal vein systems, it got our attention. And there had been some historic drilling on it, but now we've really started to inch out and etch out what looks like a currently shallow, higher grade ore deposit. And we've just announced some really good drill results while in September and in November that have really started to to put some size to the deposit. I mean, I think one of the results was almost 15, a little over 15 grams over 5 meters. So we're just trying to define what the potential size of this could be right now, because it's all still very virgin and new. And, you know, we have drill results like that, probably at a depth between 150 and 200 meters. You're going to go back and follow up on a number of these hits because, you know, again, we've had probably between 10 and 20 drill intercepts of those magnitude at this Balkan system. And for me, what's really exciting is this is only 5 kilometers away from the Libertad facility. So what we're saying here is that the Libertad concessions, which house the current mill, 2.2 million ton per annum mill, we're still making discoveries and expanding resources on the property, even though it's already produced 2 million ounces of gold. So I think there's going to be plenty of opportunity next year and the following years to make additional discoveries like we have with Volcan. And we still don't know the size of Volcan. So we got to get back in there, do some more drilling. Secondary to that is Tranca. Tranca is another vein system less than 10 kilometers from the Libertad mill, where we've started to string together what looks like, again, a shallow high-grade open pit and with some high-grade shoots as well. So we'll see where this all comes, but we'll likely have a maiden resource come out in Q1 of next year when we put out our 2021 resource and reserve update.
Well, Ryan, just one more question on this release from the Volcan. It's exciting to see the high-grade hits, but this is also a 1.5-kilometer trend of mineralization, and you've done the near-surface drilling, but it also says there's a high-grade core that's open at depth. So I'm interested to hear, are you going to do some deeper holes into this target? And also, just as a reminder, you mentioned Tranca. These are pretty close by to Tranca and Rosario, those deposits. So could there be some gap zones between all these that could also be filled in?
No, absolutely. I mean, these are the style of deposits that are these low sulfidation epithermal vein systems. I mean, you can get into some incredibly high grade shoots here over periods of, you know, hundreds of meters versus kilometers. So you can find these high grade shoots that go 100-200 meters, and you can discover a significant amount of ounces quickly because of these grade profiles. I mean, for example, over at Limon, we've got a high grade deposit called Panteon, and it's still growing as well. And I mean, some of the intercepts over at Panteon range from 3-4 meters of 50 grams. And I think one of the best hits was 5 meters of 150 grams gold. So yeah, absolutely. We'll be back at Volcan because it's still, as I said, it's still the beginning stage of defining what the size potential of Volcan could be, as well as Tranca, because we are still seeing these shoots within Tranca and Volcan. And then you look at the whole district down there to the southwest of the Libertad concession. That's where we're identifying these sources, and that's where Volcan and Tranca are. Our VP Exploration, Mark Peterson, believes that an order of magnitude down further is where we're starting to really hit a gold window based on all the geological work that his team and his consultants have done. So we're very excited to get going and drilling around Volcan, Tranca, and other targets to see what the additional potential and size could be. Absolutely.
So Ryan, before we move on from this exploration, I've heard you mention a couple times that you're looking further afield. So some other, it sounds like newer targets because of how large the general land package is. What's that process going to be in terms of drilling some of these targets and moving forward with, again, you guys are operating, so bringing something into the mine plan. How quickly can that all happen?
Well, in the case of Pavón, right, Pavón did not have a resource when we acquired it from B2 Gold. So within a couple of months, we put out a new resource. Very quickly, we initiated the EIA permitting process because some environmental work had been done. And within 12 months, we had a permit to start mining and extracting. It took us about 6 months to build infrastructure and road upgrades. And within $15 million, we were able to take something basically from, we'll call it a brownfield, through to production and hitting our target run rate of 1,000 tons hauled a day in 22 months. So very quickly, you can turn these into ore sources and satellite feeds into either one of these facilities. And then, you know, as you said, further afield, I've mentioned that a few times. In Nicaragua, the group has identified a very prolific Western epithermal belt. So going from Limon all the way through down to Costa Rica to a project called Crescitas, which is 3.5 million ounces. That's a plus 10 million ounce endowment of past production or current resource, current production projects all the way down there. And it's very underexplored. In fact, there's a lot of opportunities to go out and stake new concessions. And we've just recently done that. We've staked very large land packages based on the boots on the ground work and mapping work that our team has done in identifying these silica clay alteration zones that they've identified through the work over the past couple of years. So one, for example, is a new concession called Buena Vista. This Buena Vista land package is almost 300 square kilometers. We've already done a bunch of work on it, so we're almost getting ready to drill it. Diamante, again, right probably about 50 kilometers away from Libertad. And again, low sulfidation identifiers on surface. We'll do some more work on that. We're going to be flying an airborne survey the first half of next year. And so, you know, these are the types of things that where we could see discovery potential and where we could see additional new district scale sources that could feed into either one of these process plants. So next year, 2022, will be a year of additional regional on the properties, but also generative on newer concessions, exploration work and drilling to see what we could discover along this prolific of underexplored trend.
Well, Ryan, just before we wrap up, I'd be remiss if we didn't at least remind listeners that you guys are in the process of a big acquisition with Fiore Gold in Nevada. And this really takes it to a new game. It takes you from all of the organic growth you just outlined in Nicaragua and gives you a mirror image of that over in Nevada, where there's so many satellite targets, so many different things to go after, and you've got 50,000 ounces a year of production coming out of that Pan mine. But I think it gives the company a combined 245,000 ounce production profile with an all-in sustaining cost of just a little over $1,000. But just walk us through from a high level what this transaction means to the company and how you can take these same kind of principles and apply them with the solid team over in Nevada that Fiore has.
Yeah, it's an exciting opportunity for us to have a multi-asset, multi-jurisdictional gold company with a growing, obviously growing growth profile, production profile, and now a nice diversification of asset bases in the Americas and Central America. What we really like about this opportunity here, in fact, is the fact that both Pan, the operating mine, the heap leach operating mine, which has been a really solid performer for Fiore, it's generated, you know, between 20 and 25 million a year of operating cash flow. That cash flow they've put back into the business. They significantly expanded their heap leach pads. They've installed a single line crushing unit. And yet they've only spent about $1 million to $1.5 million a year on Pan exploration. And yet they've replaced reserves every year. So, you know, talking with my colleague, Tom, who is just down at site, he's very excited about the exploration potential at Pan, largely because a lot of targets have not been drilled and there's some really attractive low-hanging fruit. See, the reason this works so well is the pro forma company has a very strong balance sheet to allow us to reinvest into Nevada as well as Nicaragua, right? So this provides the opportunity to, again, expand resources at Pan, increase mine life at Pan, and then the adjacent property Gold Rock, which is only about 20 kilometers away from Pan, provides an opportunity of additional, well, it's a development stage project today. We want to understand the scope and scale of that project because, again, it's had a limited exploration budget. So now, with the combined companies and stronger financial flexibility, we can look at, you know, assuming the targets are there, and we've identified a bunch of them, and after the week that the team's been spending down together with the Fiore team, I think we're going to come out with, again, very aggressive exploration programs to follow up on targets that they've been probably wanting to drill themselves. So don't know exactly the stage of operating strategy there yet. Could there be some synergies with Pan? Yeah, potentially. But the team there have done a really good job of delivering Pan as a heap leach mine. And now we've got this Gold Rock project, which could potentially double if put into production. Double production out of Nevada to take it up to almost 100,000 ounces a year. So that's an incredible, and at a relatively low cost. I mean, I think their PEA cited $70 to $80 million of CapEx. But really what we like is the exploration potential at both projects. And of course, you're in a tier one mining jurisdiction, Nevada, if not the number one mining jurisdiction in the world.
Hey, Ryan, I really appreciate this update. There's so much going on with Calibre on the production front and all this exploration. And then you guys added in the Fiore assets there that also are in production and sound like there's going to be some exploration going on there. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Ryan regarding anything going on with Calibre mining, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We will get those addressed for you, and we will follow up for another recap and really look ahead to what's going on in 2022, probably in the new year. Ryan, thank you, as always, for your time, buddy. Really appreciate the update.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Stay well.